What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, and things are back to normal, people. Everyone relax. We're good to go, okay? Things are back to normal. Warriors get the easy win over the Suns last night. Plenty to talk about with that game. A couple other great games in the NBA. We're going to talk about those also. That's all coming up next. You're on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another life-changing episode for you today. It's what I do. I change lives. And, the Warriors took on the Suns last night. Got themselves a easy win for the most part. A quick look at the box score would show that some of the Suns were able to get some numbers, play well, fill up the box score. You know, DeAndre Ayton, who, I mean, the talent's there, no question. But a lot of rookie mistakes from last night. Devin Booker had himself a damn good game, but also a ton of turnovers. But I would say for the Warriors, things are pretty much back to normal. They get the win 123-103. The game was never in question. Just an all-around Warriors-type game for this Golden State Warriors team, which I talked about yesterday, that maybe playing the Suns was the cure for what ails them, and it sure seemed like it. Steph, hell of a game. Klay, still struggling from three, but was able to get it going in other aspects. KD will always put up the numbers. He'll always get his average. But it's been a little stagnant recently, and it just felt more like the Warriors last night, getting out and running, getting things done in transition, and playing lockdown defense. So why even waste any more time? Let's get right into it. It's all about this game from last night, Warriors taking on the Suns. I guess I'll start with going through the quarters and then maybe break down some players. So some of the notes I took last night while watching this game was the fact that, I mean, it obviously jumped out off the screen immediately, was Damian Jones. He had 9 points in the first quarter. I think he had 6 of their first 8, a couple lob dunks immediately. I mean, the first sequence was a pick and roll lob for a dunk. That's what he brings. That's what he brings to this team, and he's been doing it damn well. He was 5 of 5 last night, 3 of 5 from the free throw line, which is solid for him. You know, that's one of the main things he'll need to get better at, if possible, because he's going to be fouled and go to the line a lot because of the way he plays and because of knowing his deficiency is at the free throw line. But he ended up with a new career high, 13 points. His last career high was 12. 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, and only 3 fouls in this game, which is a good thing for him because he has a tendency to foul a lot. And maybe he wasn't being attacked specifically or whatever the case may be, but he had a solid game, and that jumped off the screen immediately. I mean, he was making plays immediately. Alphonso McKinney, and we'll talk about him a little more, but he had some nice run also, especially in that first quarter, 4 points, 2 rebounds in that first quarter. I think 2 offensive rebounds. He's just been solid and a contributor, a real contributor, which is something that they need. They can't just have a guy on the roster who's going to be the last person on the bench. Jacob Evans is already that. That was mean. He had a nice play in the fourth quarter. I'll talk about that a little later. Steph, 7 assists in the first quarter. This was really a Warriors-type game. Like I said, and you've heard me say it a number of times already. But 35 assists, I don't think they had 30-plus in any of their previous 3 games. So this felt a lot more like the Warriors. Klay did have a rough first quarter, missing shots, was fine defensively, but didn't have the impact defensively until later in the game. And there was a lot of running. They were able to get stops and able to run, which, again, is Golden State Warriors basketball. So it was good to see. And on top of that, a lot less fouls. That is what allowed them to run, was the fact that they weren't fouling every other possession and having to take the ball out of the hoop or take the ball from a free throw out of the hoop. But that's going to be something big for the Warriors moving forward, is adjusting to how the game's being called. Because like I said, one of two things either has to happen. Either the refs need to go back to how they call the game like last year and previous years, or teams are going to have to adjust. Specifically the Warriors, because of the fouls that were called. I mean, we saw Luke Walton last night go off on the refs. And, you know, it might just be how the game's called now, Luke. Sorry, you know, Lakers are 0-3. Ha! Talk about that a little later. But I do love Luke. Sorry, Luke. Second quarter, Draymond started at the five again, which, all right, it's fine. But it's just tough because Jordan Bell's still there. Jordan Bell is in the doghouse. I don't know what he did or what he hasn't done to put him there, but it doesn't look like he's getting out anytime soon. Draymond Green has started every second quarter at the five, and Steve Kerr has mentioned he wants to limit that, but so far this year, he, you know, hasn't really. One thing I noticed, too, that start of the second quarter group, and who knows when Sean Livingston is completely healthy. There could be some jumbling, so to speak. But that start of the second quarter group was, I believe it was Quinn, Clay, Andre, Jerebko, Draymond. And what I think will happen is you're going to sub in Cousins for Draymond. So that's Quinn, Clay, Andre, Jerebko, Cousins. Which is an interesting... Did I say too many names? Did I throw Draymond in there by accident? Quinn, Clay, Andre, Jerebko, Cousins. Interesting lineup there. Might be a little tough defensively because you will be subbing out Draymond for Cousins, who, look, he's fine. He's average, but he's not a defensive stopper like Draymond and can be exposed. But the thing is, that will be, should be, a solid offensive lineup there for them. Because it really is one thing they lack, is a second unit scorer. And I do think that Boogie is going to handle a lot of the second unit scoring. I think that's where a ton of his touches are going to come also. But you surround him with Quinn, who's a solid shooter. Clay, who we know is a great shooter, even though, even with his struggles recently. Jerebko, a guy I'm going to talk about soon also, because he's been damn good. And Andre, you know, hit or miss. But still, that's an interesting lineup that I'm going to be excited to see if and when it happens. Like I said, Sean could take Quinn's spot, whatever. Or maybe Andre's spot, however it works out. But I'm interested in seeing that when it happens. And I keep saying when it happens because some news came out about Cousins that he is now going to be integrated into certain aspects of practice now. Still not full contact, still not scrimmaging or anything like that. But he's progressing, and he's getting there. And I had mentioned this before, that Tim Kawakami said it in an article that he expects Boogie to be back mid-December. I thought that was early. I am still sticking with mid-January just because that's what I said. I'm not going to move my goalposts. But mid-December does sound kind of... I mean, if he's starting to ramp up his activities now, that's almost 2 months from now, mid-December. So what's today? The 23rd? Right? Yeah, 23rd. So let's say mid-December is December 15th. Okay, so 7 weeks, a month and 3 weeks, something like that. It could happen. He could be playing for the Warriors on Christmas Day, which would be awesome. That would be a pretty cool Christmas present. I would love to see that. I mean, I'm going to love to see him play anyways on Christmas, but whatever. So... took a left turn on that, but just finishing up some of the quarter talk here. Clay, three straight mid-range jumpers in the second quarter, and he started getting himself going in the second quarter, which was good to see. Three ball still not falling for him. He's going to break out of his slump eventually. He was 1-6 from three this game. He's going to break out soon enough. I don't know when, but it might be record-breaking when he does. He might knock down 15 threes. He might go 15 of 18 in a game. Just because that's what Clay does. I forget who mentioned it. It might have been Grant Liffman. I could be wrong. I don't know who tweeted it, but it might be time for him to shave the beard. And that hurts me deeply because I love the beard. All right. I love the hair, love the beard. I think he should fight through it. But we see it in just about every sport. When something isn't going right, you change. And you change something physically, even though that really has no bearing on why he's not shooting well or anything. But you change. And that might be the move coming up. It would hurt. I don't want it. But that might be, that might change the whole season around for Klay Thompson. You never know. But don't do it, Klay. Beard gang.
Oh!
So, Klay, look, three straight mid-range. You had 11 points in the second quarter. And these were deep mid-range, too. I mean, if there's anything between mid-range and a three, it's, a, you know, what is it, 24 feet? He was shooting them at about 22 feet. So he was knocking them down three straight, 11 points in the quarter, which was good to see. Still struggled a little bit, but it was good to see him at least get those going. Because that's the thing. He's so much more than just a three-point shooter. And we do this with Steph also. We equate basically everything they do to their three-point shot, where two of the best mid-range shooters in the game. Steph is one of the best driving to the hoop and finishing. Acrobatic finishes also. I mean, especially this year, it seems like he's even taking it to another level when he was already great at it. Klay, one of the best mid-range shooters in the NBA. And then defensively, that's my next note. Defensively, Klay was locked. Capital L-O-C-K-E-D. Shout out Locked On. Locked in on D. He was as good defensively as I've seen him this year and in recent memory. When Booker and Klay were one-on-one, Booker got nothing. Klay forced him into a ton of turnovers. Booker had 9 turnovers last night. I know Klay at least forced 4 of them, and it might have been more. Klay was locked in defensively. So that's the other thing, too, is we focus so much on their offense. Klay, when he's locked in on defense, is, in my opinion, as good as anyone, especially one-on-one. Now, he does have some lapses as far as team defense goes and mental things, but one-on-one, he's as good as anyone one-on-one defensively. He was locked in, and he shut down Booker for the most part. Booker did get his stats. He still filled up the stat sheet, but he also went up against other people. When Klay was in, was defending him, he was shut down. Jerebko, my man Jonas Jerebko. Here's the thing. He knocked down 2 threes in the second quarter. He, I'm pretty sure, is their best bench player right now. Through 4 games, he's been the best bench player. Part of that is the fact that Andre and Sean have been injured and in and out of the lineup. But Jerebko's been great. And it seems like he's a guy who's figuring out his role on this team. He went 3 of 5 from 3 last night. One of those he took in garbage time. He was 3 of 4 when it really mattered. 2 of 4 from the line. 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 13 points. He's been damn good. And if he can keep shooting like this, forget it. Especially for a team that has been looking for someone to come in and knock down threes for, I don't know, the last 5 years, ever since Mo Spates left. And you guys heard my Mo Spates rant. I can't believe he's not in the NBA, especially a league that's dying for three-point shooters, but we'll move on from that. Jerebko has been perfect for the Warriors. And if as long as this continues, he's going to continue to be great for them, and he's going to be someone they're going to want to hang on to moving forward. I mean, it was Ian Clark, who, you know, Ian Clark was solid, but not great. Nick Young, Omri Caspi, you know, Steve Blake, all the way back to Steve Blake, just looking for a guy who can come in and knock down threes in that second unit, regardless of position. And Jerebko's been it. Through 4 games, granted, but considering how lost and bumbly he looked throughout the preseason, this is a great development. It really seems like he's figuring out his role on this team and fitting into it perfectly. And as I mentioned before, this is my fault. I didn't realize how physical he is. He gets after it. There's no softness to his game. He's going to go hard. He's going to go hard for rebounds. He's going to play hard. And some of that leads to some of his, you know, I don't know, his bumbling around sometimes. Because he's obviously not the greatest athlete in the world. But, man, I've been impressed with him the last 3 games. In game one, he was fine too. He didn't knock down any shots, but did have a nice board or a couple nice rebounds. Like, he's a useful player, and he's been damn good these last three games. So I just had to make sure I gave him that those props. And one other thing I noticed about him, and it looks a little different, a little weird, because he doesn't really get any jump on his jumper. That three-point shot is, it's kind of like a tiptoe three-point shot. But he's got a quick release, or at least a high release. He starts his motion, his shot, high up around the chest, up around his neck, and he gets it off quick. Where that was one of the biggest problems with Omri Caspi, and he never mentioned it, but you can kind of figure as to why he didn't like to take threes, because his shot started all the way down at his waist and took forever to get off. So even at times when it looked like he had an open three, he wouldn't take it, you kind of figured, oh, it's because it's going to take 10 seconds for him to get there. But Jerebko does not have that, and Jerebko has no problem jacking up shots, which is also great, because that's another thing they've had with players over the last couple years is, for some reason on this team, they didn't want to shoot. Maybe they're just nervous about, I don't know, being on the floor with, you know, great players, but who knows? Anyways, that's my Jerebko rant. Love him. He's been playing great, and I think he'll continue it, and I think it's awesome that he's figuring out his spot with this team. Great pickup by Bob Myers. What else do we got? McKinney, solid stretch in the second quarter. He's got great timing and instincts for offensive rebounds. He just, I don't know what it is. I don't know why he has it and other people don't, and maybe it's just effort and going for them, but he had two offensive rebounds and also just forced a lot of action by the rim, rebounding action, and he's been good at that. He goes for it. He was one of two from three, 4 of 6 from the field, 7 rebounds, 10 points. Like, that's another solid performance from him. We'll have to see if he can keep it up, how he continues to play, but so far so good, and that was a good showing from him last night. Great play to end the half. Steve Kerr, what was it? I think the Suns had free throws, and Steve Kerr subbed out Damian Jones for Quinn Cook, or maybe they took a time. I forget what the actual situation was, but basically Steve Kerr subbed out Damian Jones for Quinn Cook for the last play of the game, for the last shot. And KD brings it up, kicks it to Clay. Clay draws in the defense, kicks it over to Quinn. Quinn knocks down the three. Warriors go up by, I don't even know, I think it was 14, something like that. But just a great play to end the half. Quinn Cook, nice shot. He's a guy who I would like to see get a few more shots with that second unit just to get him going a little more. He's been fine, but not as efficient as he was last year. I do think he can be a solid scoring weapon off the bench, so I'd like to see him get more opportunities, but he's good for the most part. I mean, Quinn's solid. Solid. Warriors had 25 assists in the first half, finished the game with 35, I believe. Yeah, 35. 24 fast break points in the first half as well, which was huge for the Warriors. Like I said, getting back to playing Warriors basketball. It felt like things were getting back to normal, which was pretty awesome. But there was a little drama in the third quarter, and I'm going to talk about that coming up next. But first, ever since I started Locked On Warriors, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week, next week, whatever. Truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best option this season. I would only recommend a service to my listeners. It's been good to me, and it's been good to me. Look, win or lose, that's where I do my betting. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash, win big today. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. It's that simple. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. I love it because, look, your boy is nice at fantasy. I'm actually not. But if you guys, I know plenty of fantasy guys out there, get to my bookie, man. Go ahead and show that fantasy prowess that you're always telling me about. Make some more cash off your fantasy teams. Join now, and my bookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code Locked On to activate your offer. Visit my bookie online today. That's MYBOOK OOKAY, i.e., and don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Like I said, MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. That's MyBookie, you guys. Get to MyBookie, lay down some cash, win big today. Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just finished up talking about the first half of that Phoenix Suns Golden State Warriors game. Not a lot to talk about in the second half, especially because the Warriors just crushed them. In the third quarter, Steph comes out, puts up 15 in the third. This is why I was talking about getting back to normal Warriors basketball. Things are almost back to normal. Once Klay starts knocking down threes, we're good. We're good. But Steph, 15 points in the third quarter. They put it on him in the third quarter. Ended the third up by 25. The only thing that happened was Klay rolled his ankle in the third. It wasn't that big of a deal because he did end up coming back. But something to monitor. They ended up taking him out after a couple more minutes and just as a precaution said, you know, let's relax. Let's call it a night, Klay. Good job. And that's about it as far as the third's concerned. Not much happened. Like I said, the Klay rolling of the ankle, like once you get up 25, it kind of slows down, whatever. But Warriors were good. Fourth quarter comes around. A lot of it was garbage time and like real garbage time, like Jacob Evans time, which is not nice for me to say, but it's just the truth. Damian Lee ended up getting 2 minutes as well. Jacob Evans was one of two from the field, missed his jumper, but he did have a nice little drive and finish, which is something that he did show in preseason and summer league. And he is solid defensively, but there's some things he's got to work on, he's got to get better at, and hopefully he does. Because it is so important for this team to hit on draft picks, hit on undrafted players, just be successful in the margins. Because when you're this top-heavy, you don't have money to spend on free agents. The DeMarcus Cousins thing is awesome. I love it. I can't wait to see him play. But there are certain negatives to adding a player like DeMarcus Cousins, and it has nothing to do with the way he plays or his attitude or anything like that. Those are all secondary for me. The problem with it is you spent your entire mid-level on him. I don't think you're allowed to use that mid-level next year, and you're probably not going to be able to re-sign DeMarcus next year. So in the long term, there's going to be ramifications for signing DeMarcus Cousins that they're going to have to deal with, and you know what? They're probably all worth it. In the short term, it's great. But in the long term, if they spent that money, let's say they spent that money, they were able to split it up. 2.5 for someone, 2.5 for someone else. Not only is that, could that potentially have been better used for the future because you would be able to potentially re-sign those players, you could also make the argument that, let's say you spent that mid-level or most of it on, say, Kyle O'Quinn, who signed with Indy for $4 million. So let's say you spend $4 million on that. The thing with that is he's a player you probably would be able to re-sign moving forward. Like I said, with DeMarcus Cousins, that's probably not going to happen. But I'm getting a little off topic. Basically, what I'm saying is for the Warriors and Jacob Evans and Alphonso McKinney as well, or whoever else, Marcus Derrickson, who's on a two-way. We saw it with Quinn Cook. It is incredibly important that Quinn Cook plays well and continues to play well because he's a guy they found on the margins. Jonas Jerebko, it's great that he's playing well for so many different reasons, but especially because they got him on a minimum contract and are able to find a contributor for that, for the minimum contract, because they don't have money to spend on another player like Jerebko. Nemanja Bjelica with the Kings, I kind of think him and Jerebko are similar players. Similar quality. I've been watching a little bit of Bjelica recently. Bjelica probably is better. But the bottom line is the Warriors wouldn't be able to go out and sign Bjelica for anything above the minimum. So it's important that they hit on this stuff. It's important they hit on draft picks. It's important that they hit on undrafted guys like Alphonso McKinney. Hopefully he continues to play well and works out. Pat McCaw, it's important that they hit on him. Regardless of his situation of, you know, the dumbest holdout in the history of sports, it's important that they hit on them because they don't have any other avenues to sign good players. So there's my Jacob Evans rant. It's important that he does contribute and play well and become a rotation player, become a contributor on this team. No question about it. I think that's about it for this game. Like I said, Warriors back to normal. Clay was the only one still waiting for that breakout, that breakthrough. Maybe it happens Wednesday against the Wizards. Right? They're the Wiz, right? I've been confused since they stopped being the Bullets years ago. But maybe it happens Wednesday. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe he does need to shave. That'll break my heart. But that's pretty much the only thing left for this Warriors team right now to feel like they're back to normal. And hopefully this wasn't just a one-game thing where next game they're back to, you know, stagnant, no-movement offense. I don't think that'll be the case, but you never know. Going to take a quick break, come back, look at some of the other games that happened in the NBA. Going to give you my league pass picks for tonight and then wrap this thing up. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles C. Hamilton. These are going a little longer recently, mostly just because there's more to talk about, man. I love that there's actually games to break down now and not just, league-wide drama or anything like that. So, enjoy. I'm enjoying it. I wanted to get to a couple of the games that happened last night. The NBA is just the best. It really is. I mean, in the NFL, MLB, whatever, you can hope for one good game a night. And NFL, you're not even one good game a week, and you're not going to get it. The NFL has been, I'm one of the biggest NFL fans there are, is whatever, grammar. I've been so disenfranchised by the NFL recently for so many different reasons, and one of the reasons is the product on the field sucks. But it doesn't matter because we're talking NBA. The NBA has been incredible. First week of NBA, every single night, there's at least one or two games that comes down to the wire, gives you an incredible finish. I mean, we had what? Orlando-Boston last night. It was players only, which sucks. I mean, I won't go into my rant about that, but maybe try calling some of the action players. Players only, please. Orlando-Boston goes down to the last second. Orlando gets the nice win against Boston. What else? Portland-Washington. Washington gets the win, I think, in overtime. Both teams knocking down late threes. Just a great back-and-forth game. And then Lakers-San Antonio. Lakers are 0-3. Another great game. Lakers-San Antonio. DeMar DeRozan has a beast of a game. Almost identical stats to LeBron James. But guess what everyone was talking about after the game? LeBron James. I'd rather hear about DeMar and LaMarcus Aldridge, who actually got the win. But that's just me. So great games last night. The Lakers, look, as funny as them being 0-3 and all that stuff, they're close. They're close to being good. At least offensively, they're pretty damn good. The whole Ron, I mean, I think one of the good things about this Rondo Ingram suspension situation is it gives Luke Walton a chance to make some rotational moves, some starting moves that without having to deal with the repercussions of starting Lonzo over Rondo when Rondo's healthy and Rondo throws a fit, which Rondo might just do anyways, who knows. But it was a good game. Josh Hart getting time for Ingram, and you know, don't have to deal with the repercussions of starting someone over Ingram. Portland, Washington, I loved it. Portland is a team I'm really intrigued by, mostly just because of what they added in the offseason. I'm intrigued not in a way that, oh, they're going to be great, but intrigued in that, look, I think they tried to address a specific aspect of one of their deficiencies, which is three-point shooting, and I think they did pretty damn good in doing so. Nick Stauskas, Seth Curry, Jake Layman's getting more time, all that stuff. Zach Collins, I like Zach Collins a lot. I think he's a damn good player. So those things are interesting to me. Orlando is a team I'm interested in, not because I think they're good, like I said, but they have players that I'm interested in watching. Aaron Gordon, I've always been high on. Jonathan Isaac, the 6'11 small forward, you know, interested in what he can become. And then Mo Bamba. Of course, Mo Bamba. Want to see what he can do. He's kind of boom or bust as far as a draft prospect goes, but he's been good and he's really intriguing as a, you know, 7 foot plus, 8 foot wingspan, whatever the hell it is that can shoot threes. So it's been great, man. The first week of NBA basketball has been awesome. As you can tell, I'm so glad it's back. I'm a freaking NBA nerd, League Pass nerd. By the way, I don't want to put him over right now because sometimes, and you can hear I'm torn right now. League Pass is one of the greatest products or ideas for a product that has ever been. Their execution of the product is as bad as it gets, but man, it's so great also. It's so great. So I didn't really explain it in the last podcast. Something I'm going to do, though, every pod is give you League Pass picks for the night, things to watch on League Pass, and maybe break them down a little bit as well if there's time. Not really time tonight to do so. We're already going long here. But there's only three games, Philly at Detroit, Clippers at Pelicans, and then Sacramento at Denver. My picks are going to be Philly at Detroit, obviously, and Clippers at New Orleans, obviously. Philly and Detroit, two Eastern Conference teams. They can get up and down. You know, Blake Griffin in Detroit is still intriguing to me. So check it out. I think Philly gets that one. Clippers at New Orleans. That one's a little tougher because I think the Clippers are good. I think they're going to be they're perpetually fighting for the eighth seed. And New Orleans has been great. I left Sac and Denver out just because Denver is clearly the better team. But I'll tell you what, Sacramento's averaging 125 points a game. And Denver's a damn good offense. They do have a really good defense through four games also. So let's relax on that as far as the rest of the year goes. But through four games, Denver's playing some D. So that's interesting to see. I think we'll see it kind of regress back to the norm where, you know, we might get a 140 to 128 game tonight between Sacramento and Denver. So if you like offense, check it out. Come back tomorrow. Going to have more stuff to talk about, probably another game preview and other news as well. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.